Hello, it is Friday, July 1st. I am Trent Rensmith. This is the Come On Now MMA podcast. First item is the situation at lightweight in the UFC. And that situation is that we're expecting a title fight between recently stripped champion Charles Oliveira and Islam Makhachev. The situation got a little blurry here when Oliveira and his coach said that they do not want to fight Makhachev in Abu Dhabi in October because it doesn't fit their timeline, and two, it doesn't fit where they think the fight should take place. And I am here to say, watch this, because it could get very interesting. And if Oliveira and his team dig in their heels here, he could end up on the outside looking in as Makhachev gets a title fight. Because if we know one thing about the UFC and its matchmaking, the date and the location are the first and second most important items to the promotion. The who is a far distant third. And so if Oliveira and his team say, nope, we do not want to fight Makhachev in October, and we do not want to fight Makhachev on Fight Island, then the UFC is going to say, okay, that's the fight we have available, and if you don't want it, it'll go to someone else. Because the UFC does not care that Oliveira is the former champion. The key here is former. And I understand that he should still have the title, and you can argue that, but the fact of the matter is he is no longer holding that title. And so the title's up for grabs, and if the UFC wants to put a title fight on that card, the UFC is going to put a title fight on that card. If it's Makhachev against Oliveira, great. If it's Makhachev against someone else, so be it. And that's the UFC's thinking. And here's what Oliveira's coach, Diego Lima, said about the situation. Why do it in Makhachev's turf? Look at what Charles has done. Look at his track record. Why not let Charles fight wherever he wants? Why not give us a chance to fight in Brazil? Oh, but it has to be somewhere neutral. Fine, let's do it in New York. If this was McGregor, we'd fight him in Ireland because McGregor has made history. Now, why would we want to go fight in Abu Dhabi in October? That's much sooner than we're used to fighting. That's a different timing. It's not Charles's timing. Charles doesn't want to fight in Abu Dhabi as his head coach. I fully support his decision and agree with him. And all that is great. All that is fine. But that doesn't change the fact that the UFC doesn't really care about what Charles Oliveira wants and what Charles Oliveira has done in the past. The UFC is a what have you done for me lately organization, always has been, and the UFC has always shown that the three letters are the most important thing. So Charles Oliveira's feelings and Diego Lima's support of those feelings, not even in the consideration for the UFC. The UFC has a date. If that date's October, the UFC has a location. If that location is Abu Dhabi, if the UFC wants that lightweight fight, title fight, on that date, in that location, it's going to get it with or without Charles of Oliveira. Is that fair? No. Is it going to happen? Probably going to happen, because we've seen it play out before. Daniel Cormier got inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame on Thursday. And during that induction, I think he made some... Well, basically, I think he more or less admitted that he pushed down on the towel in that title fight, which, not really a groundbreaking revelation, since, you know, we saw it. And what we saw was him pushing down on that towel. The commission missed it. And, well, tough shit on the commission. The UFC doesn't really care, or didn't really care, because it's Daniel Cormier. But it's just a whole weird situation now. What made it even weirder is that the UFC is promoting it on its social media, which is a weird look. And it's also coming on the heels of, speaking of Oliveira, the UFC stripping Oliveira because he missed weight in a title fight. And if it had wanted to, it could have called foul on Cormier. It could have said, no, you cheated. Because the reality is, the UFC titles hold no weight with the athletic commissions. If the UFC wanted to say that Cormier cheated at that moment and stripped him, it could have. It didn't. And so that's all in the past. Where this is going to get a little interesting, well, it's already interesting because of the Oliveira situation, where it's going to get a little interesting is in what's the New York State Athletic Commission going to do, because we know they are they can be a little weird and they can be a little vindictive. And would I be surprised if the New York State Athletic Commission went back and said, all right, knowing what we know now with this admission, we're gonna say that titles, that fight is a no contest. Is that going to matter in the big picture? No, one, because Cormier is retired, and two, and this is the more important thing that I think that people need to understand, is when it comes to the commissions, these titles are meaningless. They are promotional titles. They don't hold any real weight, and the commissions don't really get involved with them. So if the UFC wants to say, and it could say this, that Charles Oliveira is the champion, then Charles Oliveira is the champion. If the UFC wanted to say that Daniel Cormier cheated and we strip him of that title back then, now it's meaningless because he's retired, well, then they could have done that, because the promotional title is that, a promotional title. So it's just a very strange situation the way it's playing out. I don't really care all that much, but the visuals are bad. And what I would say is, would the fans who are laughing this off, would they feel the same way if this was Aljamain Sterling or Tyron Woodley who had quote unquote cheated to make weight and retain their title? Would the feeling be the same, or is Daniel Cormier getting a little leeway because, you know, he's Daniel Cormier? And the answer is obviously yes. People don't like certain fighters, they don't like certain champions, and they give certain fighters a lot more wiggle room than others. Daniel Cormier is one of those fighters that gets a lot of wiggle room. Aljamain Sterling, Tyron Woodley, they are not fighters that get a lot of wiggle room. But what I think here is that this is interesting, and I don't know if it's a done situation just because of the way the New York State Athletic Commission operates. And so we'll see what happens. But not a good look. But in the big picture, ultimately, it is meaningless because it is a promotional title, one. And Daniel Cormier is retired, two. The UFC lightweight rankings are, I'm going to say they're a mess, because they have Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson in them. And I would argue that neither of these fighters should be in the UFC rankings. And I'm going to go down through some of the other organizations that have rankings and where these two fighters land in those rankings. Sherdog, neither of the men are ranked in the Sherdog rankings. Fight Matrix has Ferguson at number 14 and McGregor at number 11. ESPN, which hasn't updated their ranking since May, has neither of the fighters ranked, which I think is correct. MMA Fighting, which has their last update on June 1st, Ferguson is number 8 and McGregor is not ranked. And MMA Junkie has McGregor at number 7 and Ferguson at number 9. And I think those rankings were updated more recently. But here's the situation. McGregor has an overall record of 1-3 at lightweight, and his only win came in 2016. Ferguson is on a 4-fight losing skid, and his last win was 2019 against Donald Cerrone. Now, at that time, Ferguson and Cerrone were both ranked in the top 5, but a lot has changed. Ferguson is on a 4-fight losing skid, and I think Cerrone is on an equally long losing skid, but I'm not sure, not that that matters. So what I think is happening here is that in this situation, and in other situations, but this one I think is the most egregious, is that you have Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson, two big names who are living off their past glories in the rankings. And what we know of MMA is that MMA is the ultimate what have you done for me lately sport. And so what has either fighter done for you lately in the lightweight division is absolutely nothing, especially McGregor. 2016 is his one and only win. Now, yeah, that was moving up from featherweight to beat Eddie Alvarez for the lightweight title. Magnificent accomplishment that I cannot take away from McGregor. But since then, he has lost to Nurmagomedov and to Dustin Poirier, and all three of those losses were finishes. Now you can quibble and say that last one was an injury finish. Finish is a finish. Sorry. So McGregor, I think there is no reason whatsoever to have McGregor ranked in the lightweight division. I can't. It's, to me, it's indefensible. Because what it is it's, I'm putting this guy here because of his name recognition, because of his aura surrounding him, because of the, of what he accomplished in a brief span of time, and maybe at a different weight class. Because if you want to look at what McGregor has done, most of his glory came while he was a featherweight. Lightweight, he absolutely became a two-time champion, two-division champion at lightweight, and that is fantastic achievement. But he never defended that title, and he went on to lose three fights at that division. So there's no defense in my mind. And if you can think of one, I would like to hear it, other than what he has done in the past is the reason he should be ranked, because that has nothing to do with the rankings. You want to look at this and say, all right, this is 2022, and I'm comparing the Conor McGregor of 2022 to X fighter in the lightweight division in 2022. Because you're not going to compare Conor McGregor of 2016 to a fighter that's competing in 2022. That's unfair to the other fighter, just like it's unfair to Conor McGregor to say you should be ranked based on your past accomplishments. The rankings have nothing to do with the past other than the immediate past. I'm not looking at Conor McGregor beating Eddie Alvarez as a great achievement that should have him ranked in 2022. I'm sorry. It's a great achievement, but it's not an achievement that should have him ranked in 2022. There's no excuse to have Conor McGregor ranked. Tony Ferguson, I guess if he squint it down, he's still competitive at lightweight. He's still fighting at lightweight. And therefore, maybe you can wiggle him in there. You can shoehorn him in there a little bit. But McGregor, absolutely not. The lightweight rankings are broken if they have Conor McGregor in them. I'm sorry. Rakhmonov, who just beat up Neil Magny last Saturday on a fight night card. Just a magnificent performance. And if you were saying this is the guy that needed to pass a test, absolutely passed that test. I'm not going to give him an A+, because there were some moments, especially with the leg lock situations, where he was seemed to be playing with fire a little bit, but he passed that with an A. He's going to be a very difficult fighter to deal with in the welterweight division, and the welterweight division is in great shape with him and Hamza Chimaev. I think that those two are going to fight for a title probably next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they were fighting each other for a title next year. But I would say, and I would implore the UFC matchmakers, who really don't give a shit what I think, I'm sure, I would implore them to not match those two up until it is for a title, because they're the future of the division. The future of the division is those two guys, as far as I can see, unless something strange happens that knocks either one of them out of the running completely. But from what we've seen from both of them, they've passed their tests, and they are the future of the welterweight division. Now, the other person that you don't want to forget about in this situation is Sean Brady. He's 15-0, 29 years old, 5-0 in the UFC, coming off a win over a very tough Michael Chiesa. He's very strong. He has a very good ground game. He's not someone to take lightly or overlook, and he absolutely should be included with Rakhmonov and Chimaev as the future of the welterweight division. So you got three relatively young, relatively up-and-coming fighters fighting at 170 pounds. I don't want to see them matched up until they are all at the top of the division. They're the future. Let them face the present and beat the present and keep moving up the rankings before you match them up. Because you know that's how you build stars. That's how you build a fighter into someone that fans want to see. That's not the UFC's MO. They care more about the UFC than they care about building stars and building fighter names. But you got three potential superstars here. Let them develop into superstars. Let them rise to the top of the division, and then match them up, and then create a round robin tournament for the title. You have an opportunity here that doesn't come every day, especially in the UFC. You have three great rising fighters. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. What I found strange after Gamrot's win in the main event of the last fight card was that he said that Dan Lambert, he called Dan Lambert, who's the head of ATT, he called Dan Lambert his boss. And I think this kind of thinking gets overlooked in MMA a lot, but I think it's prevalent in some circles, in that fighters and fans think that the fighters work for their managers and agents and the heads of these gyms. That's not the case. The fighters pay these folks. They work for the fighters. So for him to say that Dan Lambert was his boss, maybe it was a slip of the tongue. Maybe it was something that got lost in translation. I don't know. But no fighter should think that they work for their agent, their manager, or their gym boss. They don't. You can walk away at any time. You can get a new agent, a new manager, a new gym, as long as your contract allows you to do so, which if I'm a fighter, I'm making sure my contract gives me an out in all of these situations, because you get in a contract that binds you to someone. Well, then why do they have to work for you or work harder for you? And I think that's what we overlook a lot in MMA. In MMA, there's not really a need for a manager unless they're getting you good sponsorship deals, or there's some, I don't know. That's all I can see, really, because the UFC contracts, the way they're structured, are take it or leave it. And so, like, take Chase Sherman. He brought this up. Why should he pay someone a good percentage of his income to agree to a yes or no question? He shouldn't. And so if you have the time to deal with that and the inclination to deal with that on your own, great. I think more fighters should do that. When you get up to the top levels and where sponsorships or where opportunities start to come in, and you need to get a PR person and you need to work out a lot of little day-to-day things, that's when you pick up a manager. But until then, take that money, put it in your pocket. And remember, always remember, they work for the fighter. A manager, an agent, a gym owner, a fighter does not work for them. They work for the fighter, and they need to represent the fighter and do right by the fighter, or the fighter should just move on to another gym, another agent, another manager, and make sure that those people are looking out for you. And that's all I got to say. So I will be back next Friday, if everything works out, for another edition of the Come On MMA podcast. Thanks for watching.